Welcome to Champion Center Podcast. We believe that by continued listening, you can grow relationally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Listen in now on this worship experience already in progress.
But we're going to continue. We've been in a really, really cool series. We just started it last week, called The Wonder of Christmas. We really believe, hear me out here, we really believe that this can be the absolute best Christmas season that you have ever experienced, bar none, in your life, if all of us will allow the message of this season to wake up the wonder inside of our heart. Somebody say, wake up. Wake up. Bellevue Campus, Tacoma Campus, say, wake up. Wake up. We got to wake up the wonder. I want to read to you out of our theme song for this series, and the song is perfectly titled, Wonder, and we just sang it a little bit ago, but I want to read the chorus, and this is a faith declaration. When we're singing a song like this, you can be reading the words thinking, I don't actually really see that. This is a faith declaration that we make, and the chorus goes like this. You'll see it on the screens. It says, I see the world in light. I see the world in wonder. I see the world in life bursting with living color. I see the world your way, and I'm walking in the light. I see the world in grace. How many know our world needs a whole lot more grace in it? I see the world in gospel. Gospel simply meaning the good news. The good news of what Jesus is bringing to the earth. I see the world your way, and I'm walking in the light. And the last line, I'm walking in the wonder. Our main goal in this series is to wake up the wonder inside of all of our hearts around the message of this season. What I've found is that even in my own life, we often don't realize that God is constantly doing something incredible on our behalf. We don't realize on a daily basis, moment to moment, what He's ultimately done for us. It just slips out of our head, we forget about it. In fact, sometimes we have to turn back up to church to kind of even remember, oh yeah, you really have given it all for me, haven't you, God? And how often do we slip out of that mode? Think of it like this. As a kid, and I remember now that I'm an adult and have my own children, I remember moments in my life like I experienced yesterday with my kids, for example, at 1:35 p.m. in the afternoon. I was making some lunch for my older son. I was making a quesadilla, which is quick. As all the parents know, that's like a quick snack you can make. I need a quesadilla, throw some cheese on, throw on the mic, boom, we're done. We usually don't microwave. Please don't judge me. It was one of those days, we're busy, the family's been sick, I'm getting ready for the weekend. So I'm like, hey, I'm going to make a quesadilla. It's easy, it's simple. I'm getting judged by Tim Tolliver right now. Oh, geez. I just looked over and he judged me. If you don't know who he is, he's like fitness to the max guru, health eater, and he's on our stage a lot, and he's amazing, and he's judging me right now. So, this quesadilla is out on the table, and our other young son, and these sons will remain nameless, so you just don't know which one it was, but one of them, after I lay the plate down in front of him, I go to grab a piece of that quesadilla, and I go to give it to our other son, and he's like, hey, that's my quesadilla. And I was like, oh, you know I could give you like 100 quesadillas, right? Do you realize what's going on? And how often in our own life do we find ourselves just like the child that doesn't realize all the good that the parent is doing for them? How often do we end up like that in our own life toward God? We lose this sense of wonder. Like, that's amazing. You put a quesadilla right in front of me. And I didn't have to do anything. It was amazing. God's throwing quesadillas in front of us every moment of every day. And allow the quesadilla, if you will, to be whatever it is that He's putting in front of you. all the time. So what we've got to do is we've got to continue to shift our perspectives and make sure that the lens that we're looking through and the lens that we're looking through our life is the lens of wonder. The sense of God. I'm in wonder of the daily breath that I breathe. And on top of that, the message of this season and what it represents. Man, when you wake up to that, that'll breathe life into you that won't ever stop. So we've been using an equation in this series. Those of you that were here last weekend, you'll remember this, but we're going to throw this up on the screens again, and it goes like this. God came down. Sinners were saved. Humans, our hurts are healed. I almost said it backwards. Hurts are healed. And humans, we have hope. This is what we're calling the wonder of Christmas, this equation. Now, it seems really simple on the surface, but I assure you, this is packed with depth and love and sacrifice and sincerity. Some of the most complex things when you simplify them. And the beautiful thing about the message, the wonder of Christmas, is it's simple, and yet it's wrapped up in this beautiful complexity. So we want to wake up and reignite the wonder in our hearts. I want to open up a passage of Scripture. It's in Luke 2, and we're going to come at a different angle this week on the Christmas story. So you can read along on the screen or open up your Bible or iPad, whatever you have. Luke 2, we're going to start in verse 8. It says, "And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord was around them. They were filled with great fear. And the angel said, 'Hey, fear not. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord is born. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" Basically, the song we just sang, "Our Emmanuel," they were doing that. But so, like, I imagine it more like all these amazing singers in our band when it's like they said together, "Glory in the God in the highest." Because you ever hear like those old cheesy voices from movies? Like, sometimes the Bible is not interpreted awesome. And so I like always have to imagine it coming to life so that it's a little more exciting to read. So our band was just up here and they were singing. It sounded like a choir of angels. And I just imagine that moment coming to life when, like, this moment, the greatest moment, the wonder of Christmas takes place and it erupts with praise that would make your skin melt off because you were so amazed by how amazing it was. So it goes on to say, "When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another," they looked around and said, "Hey, let's go to Bethlehem. We got to see what this is going on, what's going on, what the Lord just made known to us." And so what they did is they went without haste, the Bible says. They went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and a baby lying in the manger. I think it's a very noteworthy point to look at the fact that they did not hesitate. The moment that God revealed this to him, they didn't wait for 1 minute. They didn't say, "Hey, I'm going to go out for a week and pray about this. I need to go consider for a while, and then I'll come back." They took action. They moved right away into action. When we're moving our lives forward, Champion Center, we believe with Christ at the center, we move our lives forward towards God's best. But when we're moving our lives forward, hesitation is a killer. It will stop that movement in a heartbeat. We've got to keep taking action. Jesus was an action taker. In fact, when you look at the Hebrew culture, he grew up as a Jewish man in the Hebrew culture, and he was rooted in Hebrew culture is action. Different from the Greek mindset. There's kind of like the Greek mindset and the Hebrew mindset. And a lot of our American culture today is rooted in Greek mindset. We also have influence of Hebrew mindset, but with the Greek mindset, we're often okay just to like know something in our head, but not to take action. And Jesus, in the Hebrew mindset, it's both. To know something is to do it. To not do it is to not know it. So oftentimes you would find Jesus even saying things like, hey, words are important, and they are. We speak life with our words, but more important than our words are what we do, our actions. Every parent knows that's true. You can say a lot of stuff to your kids, but what you do is really what matters. So God came down. Let's look at the first line in our equation. God came down. Most of us, we don't see God coming down. We don't translate who he is as a constant state of coming down to our level. We oftentimes put him up as this high deity that we have to reach for, that's distant. He's not with us. He doesn't understand us all the time. That's how we have to fight through this perception that God's not with us. But our reality and the wonder of Christmas is that God, he came down. And as a parent, I mentioned earlier, we have two boys. When you become a parent, or if you work with small children, what do? You go down to their level. We don't look at a baby or a toddler or a little kid and say, hey, get up here. If you want to see me in the eyes, come on up. Figure it out. What do? We get down on our knees, don't we? We make ourselves available. We reach down to them. We look them in the eyes. We pick them up. We pull them up with us. We come down and we pick them up. And then we make eye contact with them. This is the picture of what Jesus did when he came down. He comes down for us like a parent goes down to their child. And that's the nature, that's the heartbeat of this God we serve. Now, yeah, go ahead, clap. Awesome. This can be difficult, though, to process when, you know, you didn't have a good mother or father. Maybe you didn't have parents that treated you well. And that's so unfortunate, and that's not the design, and that's not the plan. And the good news is you can hear about the good nature of God, and hopefully you're going to meet, through church life, people around you that there is this nature that God wants us to carry in our heart. But sometimes it's hard for us when we haven't experienced that good nature from other people. It's hard to translate that into a loving God because you haven't experienced that through other humans. And there's a story that Jesus tells trying to describe the Father nature of our God. And he tells this story. So Jesus is in the New Testament. He's telling the story. We call them parables. And we call it, you know, some of us have probably all heard at one point or another, the prodigal son returns home. But the cool part about this story, well, not the cool part, the son basically goes in rebellion. He goes his own way, does his own thing. Says, Dad, I know what I'm doing. I'm going to take my inheritance. Ends up blowing it, screws his life up, ends up in the worst case scenario possible, and just doing his own thing. One day wakes up to the realization, my life is so bad, I could at least go work for my dad and be better off than living in this pig pen. Right? So here's the story of the prodigal, and this is a story, again, of God's nature. As the son starts approaching back home, the father's constantly on the lookout for his son. And the moment he gets a glimpse of his son, he doesn't sit back in the house and tell the sons, well, look who's coming home. Finally, he's woken up to his senses. No, he darts out the door. He takes off running after his son, throws a robe around him, and welcomes him home. That's the nature of our Father. That's the nature of God. And if you haven't experienced that, that's how God wants you to know him this weekend. We sang the song earlier, Our Emmanuel, means God with us. God with us in this moment. When God came down, he came down in a man suit named Jesus. Have you ever thought about it? He put himself in an earthly body named Jesus. He came down. He knows what we walk through. He knows the pain, the fear, the struggle, the hurt, the challenge. He's experienced it all. He's lived it all. He died the most gruesome death you can possibly die on our behalf. He came down. He cares. And here's what I love. Sinners, we're saved. God doesn't wait for us, though. This is what is so awesome. He doesn't wait for us to get perfect. He doesn't wait for us to get all of our stuff together. He meets us exactly where we're at, right where we're at, going through what we're going through. And I want to say, whatever you're going through this weekend, I hear people say this all the time. As a team, we hear people say this. Man, I'm just too far off. I'm too far gone. There's nothing God could do with me. That is that's the biggest lie you could ever buy into. God knows you right where you are, and he accepts you right there. We say this a lot. We don't get good to get God. It's like we don't try to measure up to get him. We just receive God. And he starts this process of chipping off all the crusty stuff in our lives. And he makes us good. That's what he does for us. And I often wonder, why didn't God just start over again? Why didn't he just flood the earth again? Why hasn't he flooded the earth 1,000 times? Every time he gets mad, he's like, oh, these people. Just wipe them out, start over, reset. I'm really thankful he hasn't hit the reset on me. Because every one of us, we probably deserve to have the reset button hit on us. But God's nature is so good. He chose to save us. We know that. John 3:16, one of the most popular scriptures, God so loved the world. He loves the world. He's not mad at us. He doesn't hate us. He sent Jesus to take care of it. Take care of the very thing we can't take care of on our own. Our sin nature. He's got you. I love that he didn't choose to start over. This part of the equation, I think, is one of the greatest revelations, the third part, in that our hurts, they're healed. And Jesus' mission statement of life, if you will, he comes on the scene in Luke 4, and he references a passage from the Old Testament from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah prophesied this, which essentially was going to be Jesus talking, the coming of Jesus, and essentially it's his life statement of why he came to the earth. And he says, so Jesus now is quoting in Luke 4, what's actually also written in Isaiah 61. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus is saying, that's why I came. I came to heal your hurts. Is there anyone here today that you may not be in a physical prison right now or in jail, obviously, if you're here? But in your heart, you've got some prisons. There's some things locked up tight in there, some deep hurt. There's some deep-rooted issues that you've not allowed God to heal. And we've all had them. We all have them. We've all had them. And the good news is God wants to work on those. He wants you to turn that over to him so he can heal your hurt. I think that's the coolest thing is Jesus, not only did he come to save us, which by the way would have been plenty just to save us from our sin. On top of that, he's like, hey, I also want to heal all the stuff that's going on that's wrong. Friend of ours, she shared with us, she belongs to our church family. I'm not going to say her name, but in her pre-marriage days, before coming to church, before really knowing Christ, had gone through several abortions. And so after coming to church and, you know, really having her life just radically turned around and on fire for God and God beginning a healing process in her heart, she just dealt with a lot of guilt and shame from her past. And, you know, God has just continued to heal her hurts. She's now on her way in a new marriage, fresh start in life. They're having a baby together. And it's so exciting to see what God has done because she came to church and she allowed God to begin a process of healing the hurt in her life. We had a man last week, his name's Adam, and he just got baptized last weekend. And he basically told us, when I came to church, honestly, I was just without hope and at the end of my rope, no purpose. And just last weekend, gave his heart to Jesus, went public with his faith in baptism. He already went to growth track and is already getting on a team. Like he's like, I'm an action taker. All in. I think that's the greatest thing about church life is that you find people who have been where you were. It's one of the most encouraging things. You're going to find people here that'll look you in the eye and say, don't quit. Don't stop there. Don't give up now. The comeback, the turnaround is just around the corner. If you allow God to heal your hurts and to work in your life, you're going to find people here that'll meet you right where you're at. Having gone through what you've gone through. Having faced the challenges and the struggle. It's one of the greatest things about church community is that we get to walk through and grow through our hurts. Over the years, I've talked with many different business people sitting down for coffee, and a similar conversation comes up so many times. But we get talking about, and they have all these goals and success in life, only to achieve these levels of success to find out at the end of it is just empty. And what's so cool is God is beckoning these people in these conversations, in these moments. This happens all the time. It's like we're building our life, pursuing this type of dream and this thing. And all of that stuff is awesome, but if the kingdom of God is not at the end of it and not the reason for it, it's so empty. And I actually think whatever you do as a teacher, when you put the kingdom of God first, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all this other stuff. When you look and think kingdom, God, how am I going to move your church forward? How am I going to carry the message of Christ in whatever it is that I do? How is my business and our life and our influence going to lead back to building your kingdom? And when that gets a hold in your heart, man, you wake up excited. Like the value I bring today, man, it's kingdom work. I don't care if I'm building a business. I don't care if I'm driving a dump truck. I don't care if I'm out. I don't know. What else do people do for work? My mind went blank. Whatever you do for work. If you're a student, if you're an athlete, an actor, maybe you're a musician, an artist, maybe you work in politics, in the government, kingdom business. We have the ability to bring God's kingdom wherever we're at. But if at the end of it, whatever we're pursuing, whatever we're chasing, that success will feel empty if we're not pursuing kingdom. But when you're pursuing kingdom, man, when you hit success and things come through, man, it's so fulfilling because you're like, I can do more for the kingdom. Another story, a guy named JR, he's part of our church family, and he shared with us, before the age of 16, he went through 32 foster families. I mean, talk about some hurt that's got to be healed. Now he's planted here at Champion Center. God's done a new work in his life, in his family. A new day has started. His children and his family and their future is going to be dramatically different than his was because of the goodness, the grace of God. He heals our hurt. We have hope. We have hope. I really believe I'm on assignment this weekend to let somebody know there is hope for you. God did not give up on you. He hasn't given up on you. He won't give up on you. The only way it ends is when you give up on yourself. But as far as God's concerned, he is all in. He's committed. He is faithful. He's loyal. Just turn back to him. He's there. You can make a decision right now to believe the best, that God actually wants to do incredible things for your future, for your life, for your family. You can actually believe right now. You can make real decisions. God, I believe that you're going to move on my behalf. This pain I've been dealing with, the failures that I've walked through, the struggles that I'm in right now, God, I believe you want to heal those things. You want to turn them and use them for your purpose and for your good. Might be the decision to say in your heart and start confessing with your mouth, God, you are good. And I'm ready to let you be the leader of my life. Let it come out of your mouth. God, you are good. Your nature is good. If you haven't felt that way before, if you haven't known that before, start confessing and seeing the true nature of who God is. He's so good. And he wants nothing but the best for each and every one of us. I want to ask you this question as we close. What does a step of hope look like for you this weekend in your life? What does it look like? Is it salvation? Is it going public with your faith? Is it allowing yourself to simply wake up to the wonder again? You could be here this weekend, maybe you've been following God for a long time and you've just lost the wonder. You forgot God's laying down quesadillas constantly right in front of us. And that cheese is hot, it's warm. There's salsa with it and avocados. Guacamole. It's lunchtime, forgive me. But God is so, so good. I would love this. In this moment, would you all stand with me? And I want to pray for you. You know, we have a lot of fun, we joke, we laugh, but we all deal with real hurt. And I know many of us this weekend are still dealing with hurt. We're dealing with abandonment from our past. We're dealing with being made fun of years ago, maybe. We're dealing with shame. We're dealing with brokenness. We're dealing with heartache. Maybe you're on the brink of a divorce. Maybe you've been through a divorce. These real hurts. I want to tell you, God cares. He sees us. He knows us. It doesn't always mean the process is easy. It doesn't mean it's pain-free. But I'm telling you, when you turn your life over to him, he begins a healing journey and a process that's so real, and it really lasts. It's true hope. So I want to pray with you this week. And if you're here and you're just like, man, I'm dealing with hurt. I'm dealing with discouragement. I'm dealing with these issues. We're going to pray a prayer of faith. And I really believe in this moment, the moment we engage God, he is right here with us. And if you'll not quit on him, he will stay faithful and he will begin a process of true healing in your life. But you got to open up to him. You got to make yourself available. You got to take action. You got to put yourself out there if you really want healing. So Father, we come to you under the name of Jesus, the true wonder of Christmas. God, we're so grateful that you came down and you saved us from our sin. But God, right now we're reaching out for healing in our hearts. We're reaching out for healing in our families, in our relationships, in our lives. God, the things that truly matter in life, God, our relationships and the journeys we've been on, God, whether it's people that have hurt us in our past, words that were spoken over us, maybe it's things that we're saying to ourselves or scenarios we've been through or decisions that we've made. God, you know how to walk us on a new process and a journey. God, we thank you for your wisdom. We thank you for the right people. We thank you through the option of the church, God, that you're going to heal us with other people involved. And so, Lord, right now, we give those things over to you right now in the name of Jesus and believe that we're trading our heartache and our sorrow, God, for your freedom and your joy and your authenticity and your purity. So it's in the name of Jesus we ask this, we believe this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's give Jesus a big hand.
Thank you for listening today. We hope that you enjoyed today's teaching. If you'd like to help support this podcast, give today and help spread messages all over the world. Download our app and select give or go to cc.church/give. Thanks and have a great week.